I'm Ed Rose, and this is Citizen Kane. Each week on this broadcast, I uncover little-known facts and forgotten memories from the hilltop. This week's program remembers life in Kane in 1919, 100 years ago. World War I was thought to be the war to end all wars. In the years that immediately followed, there was a growing feeling that U.S. industry and large corporations, institutions that were vital to American war efforts, were sprawling out of control. Americans wanted to move the country forward and forge change for the better. The progressive era in the United States, which gained traction in Kane in 1919, was a widespread and far-reaching attempt at social, political, and spiritual reform. Along with the rest of the country, Kane was already on the brink of prohibition and going dry. Local events that year were part of an awakening, the dawning of a new age. Throughout 1919, various high-profile entertainers, artists, sports figures, and evangelists came to town, and local thought leader Elisha K. Kane, son of General Thomas Kane, shared his own personal vision for America. Elisha Kane proposed an income redistribution plan through which families would be subsidized based on the number of children living in the home. He boldly recommended to Congress that $1.5 billion be put in a maintenance account into which employers would pay. That way, wages could be standardized. Mothers would also earn hourly pay for caring for family needs. While his ideas did not come to pass, a series of sweeping social welfare programs would be enacted beginning in 1933 as part of FDR's New Deal. The year was a high watermark for the town of Kane on the local stage as the hugely popular Columbia Quartet visited the Temple Theater. The group's most successful recordings included Let Me Call You Sweetheart, Sweet Adeline, By the Light of the Silvery Moon, Over There, and I Want a Girl Just Like the Girl That Married Dear Old Dad. In all, the group had the equivalent of over 100 top 10 recordings between 1904 and 1926. One of the earliest and most successful music groups, according to Wikipedia, the Quartet are acknowledged as a major influence on the development of barbershop vocal harmony music. Additionally, world-famous concert stars Barbara Morrell and Oscar Siegel graced the Temple stage. Morrell, the prima donna mezzo-soprano of the Boston Opera Company, and Siegel, the silky smooth baritone of the day, were both top Columbia record artists. On the sports front, the big news for 1919 was the visit by George Sisler. Nicknamed Gorgeous George, Sisler came to town with a group of barnstormers after the conclusion of the baseball season and the infamous 1919 World Series when gamblers threatened to ruin the integrity of the national pastime. According to the Society of American Baseball Research, Sisler was arguably the greatest first baseman of the 20th century. In his later years as a coach with the Pirates, Sisler worked with future stars Roberto Clemente and Willie Stargell to hone their batting skills. One of the earliest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame, Sisler was inducted at Cooperstown in 1939. And in what was a renaissance year in Kane, perhaps the biggest event of 1919 was the more than three-week campaign by the famous Presbyterian evangelist William Edward Biederwolf. In November of 1919, Biederwolf set up shop in local churches, schools, and factories, and on street corners and anywhere else he could draw a crowd to deliver his cautionary message to Kane residents. Consistent with the progressive narratives of the time, He felt strongly that America was not advancing fast enough and not properly addressing social health and welfare problems. A charismatic speaker, Peter Wolf delivered a strong message of the importance of self-improvement in civic reform. Like his peer, the Reverend Billy Sunday, Peter Wolf emphasized the role of prohibition and tended to meld patriotism with religion, according to Wikipedia. Ever a student, Peter Wolf was a firm believer in serious reading and regularly carried a book under his arm to make use of otherwise wasted moments. His sermons were written out word for word and memorized, but his delivery was so fluent that listeners were unaware of his preparation. Sandwiched between the end of the Great War and the recession that followed in the spring of 1920, the events of the year 1919 provided a brief respite from worry and a glimmer of hope for the future in Kane and in America. Well, that's all for this week, friends. Please send your story ideas and suggestions to CitizenKanePA@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.